This is what a logistics professional is thinking about on a daily basis, okay? So,
I mean, I could say I thought I knew a lot year 6 or 7, and now I'm year 16, and I'm like, I didn't know anything year 6 or 7.
What caused you to fall in love so much that you stayed for 16 years?
Immediately, a lot of these retailers also will catch you 7, 9 months later.
A fellow logistician, Leo Rodriguez, the vice president of River Plate Incorporated. Hello, Leo.
Calling all CPG shippers, truckers, and logistics pros. Welcome to the Truck Yeah Podcast, your ultimate cheat code for smarter shipping, smoother logistics, and dominating the shelf where it matters most. Buckle up. It's time to learn, laugh, and get your freight on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Join with me, Teddy Lee Knox, our Director of Logistics Solutions. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. We've got a special guest today, a fellow logistician, Leo Rodriguez, the Vice President of River Plate Incorporated. Hello, Leo.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Truck Yeah Podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in logistics and start with River Plate?
Yeah, great. Yeah. So a little bit about myself. I mean, I've been in the industry, fulfillment and logistics, warehousing, distribution for a good 15th, going on my 16th year. It was not what my lane in life originally. I was actually in school for, you know, physical therapy. Realized this is actually a family business. I was scaling, growing rapidly. The business has been around for 32 years. Started freight logistics, then I went to warehousing services, and then a lot of requests for kitting and quality control programs that turned into distribution, which evolved into fulfillment, e-commerce, retail distribution. But I mean, 30 years ago, or, you know, 28 to 30 years ago, that fulfillment part of it wasn't a big component. But as I, you know, leaving college, the market was slow, and I saw opportunity there with, it was actually my mother, who was seeing the business grow and needed some, you know, needed some eyes, some, you know, in every aspect of the business. I just jumped in there really. At first, I was like, let's test the waters, kind of like do it as a summer job. And that turned into, no, I actually really loved it. Loved the industry as a whole. I started in there, you know, just actually, and I was thrown into pick and pack, right? Just doing pick and pack and orders. Then went into account management. But 16 years later. And then I actually wanted to learn more about, you know, educate myself more. So I took a bunch of courses, you know, jumped into seminar, but also the true experience of getting your hands dirty, trial and error, of course, right?
Absolutely.
Here I am 16 years later. We had 3 different facilities, Los Angeles area, consolidated to one larger facility, around 138,000 plus and growing warehouse. Really a true multi-channel fulfillment center, 3PL offering, you know, 3PL solutions, you know, across, you know, a lot of different industries or different types of commodities, right?
And so you're warehousing the freight there as well as performing, like you said, the kit packing. So those are primarily, correct me if I'm wrong, for direct-to-consumer moves?
So it's really, that's one of the, I guess, one of the areas. It's really the, depending on the type of account or really their channel, what they're trying to sell a lot of times, or they're trying to bundle. We also have to where we like a big, you know, it started really, the origin was QVC, right? So we had components. There was a hair care company that had, you know, shampoos, conditioners, you know, different types of serums. And depending on, you know, they would go on air, sell on QVC, depending on the different combinations of those building materials. So we would, bring in all the components and, you know, run in it's a production line, right? So items A, B, C are now master SKU D, right? And palletize them, you know, label to the compliances, right? Coordinate the freight, ship to the QVC distribution centers. And that was really kind of the start. And then it obviously evolved to where we're kitting for, you know, items being offered on different type of, you know, e-commerce channels, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. And Amazon as well, right? So, yeah.
Holy smokes. That's a lot of moving parts.
That is a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Really got to be tight on that inventory control, right? Making sure that, because a lot of it sometimes is our accounts, are there in the front end of that supply chain, whether they're able to bring in, they'll bring in 9 different components, but that 10th component is on back order or it's hung up. Now also, we'll experience with like the tariff situation, right? So depending if it's like a steel product or a plastic, whatever it might be, right? It could be, extra delay. So, that's, you got to be able to be agile there and just, have these conversations with the clients, be strategic. And then once it hits, we're the last ones to touch it a lot of times before it gets out there to, a distribution center or to the individual or the marketplace, right? So yeah, it's every component along the line is important to keep your eye on, but obviously use, the tech that you establish and, workflows and SOPs and all this stuff, right? So.
And I have to ask, I have to take a step back here. So you said physical therapy is what, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I love about this industry is that there's all different like backgrounds that go into logistics and ultimately fall in love with it. What caused you to fall in love so much that you stayed for 16 years? Because I've got to say, I see most like, like lawyer to logistics, like sometimes that makes sense. I'm not going to lie. Physical therapy to logistics seems like something interesting.
Yeah. So I loved it more while I was, the idea of it while I was in school and like learning about, physiology, anatomy, everything related into, the sciences, right? Loved it. Once I actually after I graduated, I went in and I was like doing like PT aid work, and I really kind of found it boring, and didn't, I just found it boring. And then I went into I honestly jumped in there part-time into the company, just to help out, just to be extra hands and, some loyal eyes out there and give some feedback. But really what I loved about it is I like challenges. I like problem solving, right? Really what kind of grew into is that as I learned more and as I got more integrated with the brands and speaking to them, watching them scale, being a part of their growth, seeing even a startup, like we have a startup that, came to us, had zero orders, didn't know what they're doing, but really had a lot of experience in marketing, blogging. It was essentially an influencer blogger who just came out with first of all, it was like a tanning product, skincare product, and they blew it out the waters with their first product, still one of their best sellers. But really leaned on myself and our team, right? It was not even a lot myself. Kind of toot my horn a little bit louder, but it's really a team effort, but it's like relying on us to strategically help them maybe not experience all the trial and errors, right? And actually just helping them with some understanding on packaging and how that affects their parcel, options on how to set a system on the back end of their their shopping carts. Everything's all interconnected, right? And then just having, a lot of it's just visibility, giving them the ability to be strategic and make, decisions based off forecasts. So I really enjoy and there's never a dull moment. I love that. I want to go. And I accepted the challenge that like, hey, I'm actually pretty decent at this. I'm good at it. There's a lot to learn. I could say I thought I knew a lot year 6 or 7, and now I'm year 16, and I'm like, I didn't know anything year 6 or 7. But yeah. I didn't know enough. So
right. Yeah.
It really hooks you.
Yeah, it does.
Definitely lack of boredom. That is that's for sure. There's always keeping you on your toes. Well, that's interesting. I think the best way to sum it up, in my opinion, and we talk about it too, is allowing the brands or the customer partners to focus on what they do best, right? You're a logistics pro. We'll handle the logistics. You, customer, work on building the quality product, selling it to the right spot, et cetera, handling the marketing, things of those nature. And then we'll kit it out and get it to the on time, to the in full, to the right people, so that it hits the shelf and we can all, thrive, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always say this, like, we're really their hands, eyes, and ears, right? So, like I mentioned earlier, we're a lot of times within the supply chain as a strategic partner in supply chain. We're a lot of times one of the last partners to touch the goods. And right. Especially a lot in the retail world, distribution, dealing with the Targets, the Walmarts, the Amazons, you know, there is POs a lot of times sitting there, over allocated and, you know, strict deadlines, everything's time stamped with compliances. So you're getting in, along with the freight logistics unit coordination, everyone's got to, buckle up and run production quick, but don't miss a step because you're getting rocked with chargebacks or, other fallouts, right? So
sure. We're well aware of those because mm-hmm. we avoid oh, yeah, them sure. so well.
We're aware of them. We don't experience.
Exactly, Teddy. Exactly. So that's a good transition. You mentioned parcel. You mentioned, I mentioned direct to consumer or DTC. As an abbreviation. And then we talked about retail. So tell me a little bit about that. Like a brand is either maybe transitioning from direct to consumer model to a retail, or I would imagine some brands, I don't know if most brands have both models, and how do you deploy that? And what are some kind of pitfalls that maybe may occur, and how do you avoid those?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, a lot of it is, you see, I can like kind of talk on both ends of the spectrum, right? You'll have some smaller brands, but have a great product, have the opportunity, or they started with direct to consumer and now they have an opportunity to, sell through a retail partner. But really, we connect with them to help them really, it's really kind of an education course, right? Is that there is so much, there's a lot of effort that goes into the infrastructure of how you are going to deploy, actually, because it's a partnership with them, but they have really tight compliances, guidelines, right? And a big part of it is integrations, right? So, we've learned and we've also talked to some of these brands is, a lot of the information that how you're also selling your product. So I can kind of break this up in different components, right? So it's like, it starts from your item profile, right? Is it where are you allowing just like, we've had some brands where we're going to sell any quantity of this SKU. We'll let them, the retailer dictate. They want to buy 4 pieces. They want to buy, 19 pieces. So you're breaking up, MasterCard. And so like, that makes it a little bit harder. We've seen that. Now it's a lot less common now. Most of them, obviously they want to order in straight, like 6-pack, 12-packs, like consistent, because you have to set up these SKU profiles or item profiles within their back end on the vendor setup. Right. But yeah, so that's a big part of it. It's the vendor setup, understanding that the vendor setup and the item setup and how that information is, integrated with our workflows it's important on it. It all ties in at the end when we actually have to process POs, because any incorrect information there can really affect how we process our routing. You're supposed to go into these routing portals and this information a lot of times also flows through, could flow through an EDI provider, right? So everything's interconnected, right? So a lot of it is the backend infrastructure, understanding that the vendor setups, the item setups, making sure that the 3PL themselves have the ability to connect. A lot of these are through EDI, some of them through our API connections, but have that backend set up and have experience and know, essentially have a checklist, right? To make sure that you're able to test and be effective to that that you're going to be able to distribute accurately, have the inventory management, set up correctly on, because if not, that, you're getting, there are report cards, there's scorecards, right. There is penalties and chargebacks. A lot of times you don't see these until, some of them, report it within, a couple of weeks or immediately. A lot of these retailers also will catch you 7-9 months later.
Yeah.
Right. So
a couple quarters out.
Oh yeah. And how I explain it to a lot of clients is like, with these retailers, it's great. It's an awesome experience a great opportunity. But with them, it's like you're proven, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. So you better have backup. better have backup data showing that you did something correctly, right? Because they make errors as well, right? On the backend end process, you have to show that you did ship correctly, you know, or if there's carton shortages, some of them don't make sense. You need to actually provide documentation. But yes, I guess to circle back, as I'm rambling, had a lot of coffee today. So
we like it. You're juiced up.
To tie back into like pitfalls, it's, you know, just rushing into it without really, I guess, going down a checklist of an experienced 3PL that's gone through this channel or that retailer. And for the 3PL, you know, the personnel that's involved, either way, it's also tying in their IT team or the, you know, the CSM or the account manager or a specialist. Is having that, you know, I feel it's been really successful around. So having that, you know, weekly or monthly cadence of calls to forecast, to align, because that might not be their only retail channel. They now are sharing inventory across multi, you know, direct consumer and other retailers, right? And they're at the mercy of where they're manufacturing. And, you know, it's like sometimes they have the POs with a lot of these SKUs and quantities requested, but the inventory is, it's these POs might be pushed out for 2 months. The containers might be coming in, you know, in 3.5 weeks. And how do you almost like cross-dock internally to your, I say cross-dock, but it's not really service, but like move it quickly to your production area to, you know, label to the compliances and then get it routed. And what can you do beforehand to, you know, shave some days, right? So it's a collaboration between the you know, the brands, the companies and the 3PL to really execute.
For our listeners out there, this is what a logistics professional is thinking about on a daily basis, okay? So just that was a great free
just
flow,
really,
stream of
really
consciousness.
Condensed. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah. One of the big, we didn't even get into like appointments and things like that. But what I want, this is a simple question, but how about pallet configurations, Leo? Do you help the brands and come up and verify the pallet configurations for each retailer as well?
Yeah, that's great question. Yeah, a lot of times the PO will dictate, or again, this is there's multiple parts that are interconnected here. It could be to where, you know, some retailers will have in their guidelines, depending on the quantity or the cube or weight, to dictate how you route or how the routing will algorithms or their, you know, the transportation systems will tell you, well, okay, this is under, you know, 200 pounds or 20 cartons, you're going to actually ship it parcel, right? Instead of, but if it's saying like, this is going to be an LTL shipment or a full truck shipment, sometimes they'll go to a consolidating, they might consolidate with other accounts, right? With other their vendors, right? That we do have, like with Walmart or Target, right? But going back to the palletizing, it's really knowing that you have pallet height requirements, pallet weight requirements. You do have to, you based off of that routing and the load numbers that are assigned, you got to meet those requirements. But we use also palletization software to help us, you know, pull in that data and give us, you know, the high end ties. And the high end tie is, how many cartons per level of what SKU and how many high that you can build out. So you can give those plans to the production team or the distribution team to have those, essentially have those loads ready for the scheduled pickup date, right? So,
that's awesome.
I love that you talked about the education piece and working together. I think that's such an important part of this relationship that you have with your logistics provider. And I think it's very important that it is education, not delegation, when you're working with this, because when we get into that growth mode, that growth and that data, if you're just delegating to each other as partners, you're not really going to see that growth flourish. So kind of, you know, touching on what you've talked about with the data, with the tools and the education, what are some things that you do to help when it comes to inventory growth, promotions and forecasting for these retailers, vendors?
Yeah, very well. Yeah, great question and very well structured. You kind of nailed it there, right? So it's, you know, we start with, you know, it's understanding goals and understanding that sometimes that you can set up a goal today short-term and long-term goals for this specific retailer, this specific channel, but you have to be nimble and be able to, you're going to have customized workflows. You're going to have or set workflows, or think that you're going to throw them into like a turnkey solution. But really, again, as a 3PL provider, there's so many other factors that are going to, that you have to make decisions on based on how inventory flows in or changes like quality control issues, right? So again, it goes back to that being, sometimes you have to be reactive, unfortunately, but a lot of times it's trying to be proactive, using your data as a tool, right? And I know that just gets thrown around, right? It's just like, okay, what does that mean by data? But data, not only just information, a system that that we have a WMS that it's, our clients can access and use it, but what if they're not using it correctly, right? What a lot of sometimes also we have accounts that are more audible learners than they are, or visual learners, or vice versa, right? So jumping into outside of just doing a demo, you can do a demo. You have an account, for a couple of years, and they have their personnel in the, their fulfillment contacts or the ones, the logistics contacts that you deal with daily or who deal with these channels, right? And communicate with our CSMs or our team. But then they might go into a different role. You have other team members, and it's just there. If you're seeing a pattern where like, hey, this is like, we're having a lot of extra touch points. This, right. Let's have a conversation here to where we can like slim this down, or also seeing that, hey, this, you're in a similar process of this other account. And like, they have it well oiled. Let's share some of these processor steps so that we can make, and then sometimes you might not be able to make that tweak overnight, but you can be part of their decision-making to, in long-term to where, all right, this is much better and you're seeing results from it, right? So not sure if I directly answered your question.
No, I like that. The best practices in applying them to, different partners, right? I think is that's a great call out because, again, we've touched on it. We've certainly touched on it in previous episodes. It's a complicated business. Again, reflecting back on your stream of consciousness, there's a lot of moving parts. However, a lot of it is the same when you kind of take a 10,000 foot view, right? Like it is on time pickup. It is on time delivery. It is pallet configurations. But yeah, the inputs might be a little bit different, but the outputs generally are the same. Wow.
Nailed it.
That should be a new podcast, Teddy.
Nailed
look into it. tell us about
it becomes a checklist. Like you mentioned, it when you're looking at it, it's a very simple checklist. When you're talking about it, it is a complex maze.
Right. Nailed it. So tell us, you're a 3PL, you said 138,000 square feet. That's awesome. Tell us about when a potential client is looking for a 3PL partner, what are some of the key traits that you provide and maybe some red flags for some of your competitors? You don't need to name names or anything, or questions CPG brands should be asking when vetting warehousing and fulfillment partners.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that immediately sticks out is that they need to be able to have a portal, a program, a lot of times could be a WMS, right? It's pretty common in our industry where they're able to be able to integrate their channels, have the ability to integrate their channels. Let's be specific there. So essentially not have roadblocks to where, I'm doing direct to consumer. Say I have a Shopify cart and my, I can integrate that, but we don't touch wholesale or retail distribution. But if that's part of maybe your long-term plan, that's could be a red flag, right? That's going to be like, all right, well, it's going to limit my ability to scale or be able to. I'm circling back to that is like, our approach is, it doesn't matter what channel, so far I haven't seen, doesn't matter what channel, marketplace or retailer, we're going to be able to integrate with them or most likely service with them. So far I haven't seen one. There's certain commodities or products that we don't touch, right? But for the most part, we're already figuring that out at the time of like, at the discovery call or the first call to introduce each other. But going back to like the questions that they should ask is, again, having the visibility and transparency on the data, specifically, on your order flow, being able to see your orders, being able to see, how they're allocating, if you have over allocations, what you have available, obviously inventory management,
right.
across the board. That's pretty standard. They have understanding of how they approach their receivings, right? How do they, are trackables important to them, right? As by trackables, I mean like, it's you need to track by lot, by expiration date, by serial number, by batch. Is the ability to run value-added services like assemblies or kitting or labeling or have quality control bars, understanding their reverse logistics or the returns, right?
Right.
It's just making sure that, and look, right now, nowadays, you can really plug this into ChatGPT and that'll help you out a lot, right? So, or AI, right? So there's a there's going to be a list of the questions are all available there. It's really kind of keying in, and also just a lot of it is there a gut feeling there outside of just all the questions? Does this really align with who they are as a company? You know, because I feel like from questions that I've taken from a new account or prospect account is that, you know, some 3PLs want to just throw you in this box in terms of, all right, and it's great. There's some models that fit to where like, this is our steps. This is how we execute. Anything outside of this, we don't do. If you do it, you're going to get hit with heavy charges. But a big part of it is that a lost art is that there's should be a team behind it that are able to, problems are going to occur, right? We're going to make errors. You know, we are going to make errors.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right? They happen here. Like we do a lot of different services, but how does that 3PL respond to the errors, right? How do they make it up to you, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times that's hard to see on the front end, but asking that question, right, is hearing their response is, you know, taking accountability and understanding that, you know, you're in it together is, you know, I believe it's vital.
I like that. I learned that very, very early on in my now 17-year career of logistics, 18 actually. Oh boy, I'm old. You're only as good as your last order, right? Like,
yep.
You're going to make mistakes. It's how you respond to those and how you step up to the plate and solve it so it doesn't happen again, or that you minimize the damage if a mistake happens. So
it's that's not a great mistake call if you fix it.
There you go, Teddy. Yeah.
It's just an educational experience.
Yeah, it's a little bump in the road.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Yeah, there's got to be corrective action behind it. And understanding a briefing with the team and understanding that, hey, this is what happened. This is like, it's just not being thrown or brushed under the rug, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, no, like, I know this could have impacted a relationship or lost customer, like a client. Maybe, even if it's just a direct-to-consumer person, like you, if you're part of a bad experience, it shouldn't be taken lightly, right?
Sure.
So. And it should be very, very few and far between, right? So,
absolutely.
Which I feel like overall we do a good job with that, and we do execute. So
nice. Well, Leo, thanks again for joining us. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you and get in touch with you about your offerings?
Yeah, great. It's like, look, we just revamped our website. There's still a lot of work there to do, but they can send an RFQ through there. There's emails on, there's a quote request. There's the sales email on there. They can reach out, they can call us, but usually that's the easiest. We're also in the focus for 2026 is really improving our social media handles, right? Big push in marketing. So it's just like, we feel like we do a lot of great things out there in our industry. Do that many brands really know about us? Are we really out there, you know, to the virtual world? But we're of course, right? I'm biased. I work here. I think we're great.
That's good.
We're awesome.
Yeah, that's riverplateinc.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You awesome. Nailed it.
And then
awesome.
Yeah, so they could check it out there or give you a call. That's the numbers on the website.
Yes,
Leo,
absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your insight. We look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the future.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having me, for your time. Really enjoy talking to you. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the kiddos.
Thank you.
And, thank you.
We'll connect soon.
Absolutely. All right. That sounds good. For all of our listeners, like and subscribe on Apple and Spotify. We will see you again on the Zipline Logistics podcast. Take care.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.